Bushunen din a way magani dug. Beishigo benicia que indigo. Mang in du dem. Ga osa squaji me cog in dunja ba. Ga mesqua wako cog in da. Elaine Fleming in dishina cas. Say miigwech minno bimadisim win. Miigwech for this good life, this long life. And for all that I've been taught and all that I'm going to learn. And so I've been learning a little bit more and more about plants and how to use them for teas and what they're good for. And I remember one of the first plants that I learned about was swamp tea. And then there was the wild rose hip and the wintergreen. And those were the first plants in that way that I was taken out to learn about. By a lady named Terry LaDuke. And one of the things I learned as I did some research about the wild rosehip was that it has all this vitamin C, that one little wild rosehip has more vitamin C than an orange. And when you think about that, you have to take other things into consideration, such as these wild rose hips. They grow right around there, and you wonder sometimes, don't you, where we used to get our vitamin C. We used to get it from things like the trees, the pine trees. And we can get it from the wild rose that grows around here. And you don't have to buy those vitamin C tablets or drink that orange juice or those fruits that come from far, far away. And you can just go out and exercise and get fresh air and thank those plants that are going to help take care of you and all of us. And I remember my children, Niabanuji Sug, that one of their favorite teas growing up was that wintergreen and wild rose hip. And I would make it into a tea, and that fruity smell of the rose hip and then that aroma of the wintergreen too was just so intoxicating. And we would put a little bit of maple syrup in there too to sweeten it. And that was good for us. That was the thing that John Smith, old John Smith, who they called wrinkled meat, that he used to eat. I mean, that he used to drink. He said that the Ojibwe people a long time ago drank teas all the time. And when he was offered coffee in those logging camps or by anybody, he would always say, Gawin, no, he wanted to drink Nibish. And so that's what he would carry with him along with his dried fish, and he'd always have some maple sugar, and he could always find fresh water, and he would always have his tea, his Nibish. So John Smith was asked about medicine, and he was asked about doctoring a long time ago, and he told a story about this old man, about a man. He said that the Ojibwe people a long time ago, they used to evaluate the plants and the animals. And one time there was this man in a tribe who got very sick. And nobody knew what was wrong with him. So this man, he couldn't get any healing done there. So he just figured he was going to die. And he wasn't of any worth any longer to the group because he was so sick. And so he was getting weaker and weaker, and this man decided that he's going to leave the people that he lived with because of the way his health was going. And he told them that he had to leave them, and he told them, don't cry when I leave. And he said if he was lucky, he would see them again someday. And he said, maybe we'll learn something from this. And people wanted to know where this dying man was going, but he wouldn't tell them. And this man, he left, and he went out into the woods, and he figured he'd just live on the wild game. And the game that he caught, he cooked it, and he roasted it on the fires, and he boiled it. It said he even roasted cat. And he lived on good water, and he had herbs, and he took tonic, which his body wanted. He would make teas from his plants that he found. And whenever he was hungry, whatever he was hungry for that he found, he would try just a very little bit of it. And that way he could figure out if this food or this plant was doing good for him. Of course, you don't want to eat a lot of anything if it isn't going to be good for you. I know before I came in the studio tonight, I was gathering that red clover. And then I saw this one leaf on this plant there that I thought I knew, and so I picked up a piece of it up and I took a bite of it, and I expected this lemony taste, but it was bitter, and so I put it down. So you try just a little bit, and that's what this man did. He would just try a little bit of these plants. So he had gone to a medicine doctor, and he ate what that medicine doctor told him to eat, and he started to feel better, and he began to travel again all by himself. And so what had happened was, this man, as he was eating these plants and these animals and drinking these tonics, he was getting better. He was healing himself. And so he came to another group of people, and they fed him. And he only ate a little bit of their food. And these people, they asked him, why did you leave the people you were living with? Why did you leave that group of Anishinaabe people? And so that sick man, he told them, he said, you know, I had been sick, and I didn't want anybody else to get sick, is what he said. So he gave himself up. He went out into the woods to die. And he figured the birds and animals would just eat him. But in the woods, he said he saw these different foods, and he tried them out. And there were foods like trees and wild fruit and wild plants. And here he got well. So this new group of people, they happened to have a powwow. And the original people that the sick man had left, they came to this powwow. And they were surprised to see this man who had left them 4 or 5 years earlier to die. And they saw how healthy he was. And they asked him what had happened. So that man, he talked about this particular tree that had really healed him. And eventually that man was selected to be a leader of this group, this group. And because he had been through hardship, such hardship, and he had studied the plants and the animals, and he had learned what would heal him. So they chose him to be their leader. And that, of course, that story is from an ethnography biography of Paul Peter Buffalo, When Everybody Called Me Gabe Benace, Forever Flying Bird. And that was written by Timothy G. Rolfs of the University of Minnesota at Duluth. And so I'm just really grateful for this story about John Smith and about the plants and the animals. And you know, my mother, she shared a story long time ago. And she said when she was a little girl, like around 5 years old, that she got sick and she had diphtheria. And back in those days, they would paint big white crosses on their doors, and that meant this house was quarantined and you were not to go in there. But her grandauntie, she would always come in there every day, and she'd have my mother drink skunk oil. And she was a lady who really believed in the medicines and practiced the traditional ways of with the Madeuan. And so my mother, she would have to drink that skunk oil. And she said, yeah, and it really smelled like skunk. And every time I would boog it, when I would let gas, I would smell like a skunk too. And it was just a story I always shared, and I would share that story with my children. And then my daughter got sick when she was around 13 years old with lupus. And so one of the ways she was doctored was she was told to drink skunk oil, and it was in water. And she was a teenager. So she was afraid that she had to take this medicine drink to school with her. And then she had to be excused to go and drink this medicine in front of her her teacher, because they watch you when you take medicines in the schools now. And she was always afraid when she would drink that skunk oil that she would boog it in school too. She would let gas in school too, and that she would smell like that old shigog. And then to my dad, he would always talk about whenever we'd go down the road and you would pass a place where a skunk had been hit by a car, and of course you could smell that powerful aroma of shigog. And my dad would always breathe deeply, and he said that was medicine. And so whenever I go down the road and I smell that old shigog, I always breathe deeply and I say, "Mi great shigog. Mi gwech bisandawi yeg, mi gwech, mi iu."